All right, I call this meeting of the House Special Committee on Energy to order. Let the record reflect that it is 10:20 a.m. on Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. I want to thank our House Record Secretary Kieran and our LIO moderator Nate for all they do here for us in the committee. And as we start today, I want to remind committee members to please make sure your cell phones are on silent. Present today, we have Representative Tuck, Representative Klayman, Representative Zolkowski, Representative Kaufman, and myself, Chair Shragi. And in the room with us, we've got Representative Thompson. Today, we'll be bringing House Bill 247, Power Cost Equalization, and House Bill 358, Renewable Energy Grant Fund, back before the committee. Before we get started, are there any questions or comments from committee members? Not seeing any. We'll jump right into business and move on to House Bill 247. The committee did receive one amendment for HB 247. Representative Kaufman, would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I move amendment number one.
And I'm going to object just for the purposes of discussion. Representative Kaufman, would you like to explain your amendment for the committee?
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, the purpose of this is to align this bill with the good work that we've done previously in this committee with respect to micronuclear reactors to include them as an option. And so in this case, on page 2, line 6, it just adds the consideration of micronuclear reactors after bulk fuel upgrades.
Thank you, Representative Kaufman. Do committee members have any questions or additional discussion? Representative Zolkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the bill's sponsor, if that's possible. I have a question for the bill's sponsor, if that's possible. I'm sorry, Representative Thompson, that I wasn't in committee when you initially presented the bill. Can you help me understand how this amendment might fit into the purpose of what House Bill 247 is looking to do?
Thank you. My name is Representative Steve Thompson from House District 2 up in Fairbanks. Through the chair, Representative Zolkowski, this fits with the idea that we have of HB 247, is to try to get communities off of PCE by reducing their energy costs. And this is just another tool that could be available to AEA should we move forward with this possible idea of making those mini reactors viable and affordable for communities. So this fits with the entire program.
Follow-up, Representative Zolkowski.
Thank you for that answer, Representative Thompson. Not so much a question, but maybe more of a reflection. When this committee heard from ACPE about micro reactors and the role that they would play in Alaska's energy picture, it was made clear that the technology is likely not to the point where they could be utilized in very small, remote village environments. From what I recall, the presentation before the committee indicated that the micro reactors would best fit in a road system environment or in a hub community environment and not necessarily villages, which of course villages are really the primary communities served by power cost equalization. And so while I appreciate the intent of the amendment, I don't know that I could support it given the context of the lack of technical capacity on the ground in PCE villages. And I'm curious to see where the other legislation that this committee considered goes before amending this particular bill. More of a reflection, Mr. Chair.
And before Representative Thompson responds, assuming he wishes to, let the record reflect that Representative Rauscher joined us at 10:24 a.m. Representative Thompson, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Zolkowski this is a developing technology. This isn't something that's going to be able to be done for a few years, but at least this would be in the statutes where it would be available for grants should they finally get this to where a small ones would work in a rural village. And that's the idea, is to keep this on the books to where that we can reduce that PCE and reduce the need for PCE in all of the villages. This is technology that will probably be worked on and advanced eventually, but let's get it on the books to where that this would be one of the tools in the toolbox should this technology become a reality. Thank you.
And before I turn to Representative Klayman, I would like to note for committee members that we have Curtis Thayer from AEA online, and I'd like to quickly turn to Mr. Thayer to see if he would like to share a position on this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Curtis Thayer with the Alaska Energy Authority, and we do not have a position on this particular amendment. We both understand both points of view as far as the technical availability in the communities, but it is an emerging technology, and by no means do we know what it might be in 5 or 10 years with the capacity as in installing those rural outputs. So we do not have a position on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer. I'm now going to go to Representative Klayman.
So in the discussion of the micronuclear bill, I can't remember the bill number, but the micronuclear bill that we've been hearing in this committee, one of the issues raised is that currently for siting any nuclear reactor in Alaska, you have to come specifically to the legislature and get the legislature to approve that site location as a separate legislative act. And the proposal, I think, was to change that to where there's no longer the requirement of coming to the legislature for authority. And my question is adding language about micronuclear reactors in this bill kind of getting the cart before the horse, for lack of a better description? I mean, until we've made some potentially other changes, wouldn't it be kind of problematic to start trying to suggest that there's more authority to go forward with the technology than right now the legislature hasn't even given up its siting authority? I want Kaufman to answer that.
Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to Representative Klayman. I think, you know, what this is addressing is the funding mechanisms in this bill, but it, at absent passage of, I forget the bill number for.
It's fair. I don't remember it either.
Yeah,
House Bill 299.
It was once easier. Now it's tougher. As we're getting into the higher numbers. So the authority currently sits where it sits now, absent passage of that bill. And so, you know, we still have that. So that it just allows for it, should we allow it at this point, or according to, you know, statute, should that other bill pass. So it's not really letting the horse out of the barn door, because we still have legislative authority unless that's changed.
Representative Klayman.
Yeah, I mean, I think that answers doesn't really completely address my concern, but one of the reasons I have reluctance on the amendment is it just feels like we're not at that place yet. The other question I have, which maybe this may be more for Mr. Thayer, but does the phrase in the bill now that reads on line 5 and 6 for rural power system upgrades, why doesn't rural power system upgrades already include nuclear and micronuclear?
For the record, this is Curtis Thayer with the Alaska Energy Authority. With rural power system upgrades, that is the powerhouse, the diesel generation units, and the distribution into the community. That's the common reference.
Follow-up, Representative Klayman.
Well, I understand that's been the common application, but what about is there some definition of statute that says rural power system upgrade means what you currently think it means? Or does rural power system upgrade, if somebody decided that micronuclear was a rural power system upgrade, you could do that under that authority today?
I understand, the Chair Curtis there. The reference to that is in 3 AAC 108 as far as our ability to do that. So that's in regs.
Follow up, Representative Klayman.
So that's in regs, but not statutes. And to the extent you wanted to change the regs, we wouldn't have to change the statute for you to publish regulations and change that.
Through the chair, you are correct.
Okay. I'll just follow up on those questions. For the kind of my concern with the timing of the amendment, and also because I think they have regulatory authority to expand the scope of rural power system upgrades, I'm not going to support the amendment.
Representative Kaufman.
Thank you. Through the chair to the committee and our guests, I guess the intent is just to create a pathway. Should we be able to get a village off of diesel and all that goes with it? Should, you know, essentially future-proofing to just be sure that there's the ability to go to a new technology that is developing. And a commonality of new technology is that it gets smaller, cheaper, more available, more reliable. That's happened with just about everything from computers to other things that we deal with. And I think we're on the verge of that. And so it was just to create clarity there. The authority will remain with us unless that's changed in statute, so that there's no risk of the horse being let out of the barn. And it may be that we could change regulations, but with such a, you know, the history of nuclear power has a lot of, there's been concerns about it because of past designs and some past performance issues, but that's not where we're going in the future. So the willingness of someone to change the regs may not be there if it's not spelled out in statute. So I believe we have to provide some leadership, and that's what we would be doing by putting this in there in terms of helping folks get off of diesel if there is a reliable, safe, and affordable substitute for it.
Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. Through the chair. I apologize for coming in late. I was up at 5:19. and apparently the room has been changed to 1:24. So the question is, we're working on this amendment, I assume?
Representative Rauscher, first off, let me say I'm glad you found your way down here. Good to have you with us. And we are on amendment number one. I've objected for the purposes of discussion.
So I would really like to read the sentence, if somebody would read the sentence, to what it's going to look like after the amendment.
Representative Kaufman, would you like to provide that information to your peer here?
Absolutely. I'm looking for a good starting point. Let's see, for rural power system upgrades, for bulk fuel upgrades, for micro nuclear reactors, or to a combination of funds or purposes listed in the subparagraph, essentially adding the capability to include micro nuclear reactors, should they become economically and technologically feasible in these applications.
Well, most of that wasn't in the sentence, right?
Representative Rauscher.
I was editorializing
okay.
After reading.
So basically, now that I've read the sentence, I'm not sure why we need to come back in the future when there is microreactors, when we know they're on the horizon. And since the technology is available one way or another, I don't see a problem with the language being entered as it is. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Other questions or comments from committee members? Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this bill, we are adding a new subsection here for renewable energy projects as well. which also aligns with our energy policy for the state of Alaska, but so does nuclear reactors align with our energy policy of Alaska that was established back in 2010. And so this kind of goes along with our vision for what we want to see in development. And sure, they can probably do it in regulations, but by putting in a statute, we know it will be done. And so I would like to support this amendment because this we're not just reenacting the power cost equalization endowment fund. We're actually adding into renewable energy. It makes sense that we also added nuclear reactors. And I also want to point out that how this became in our energy policy committee was the city of Galena. Galena was really looking at this 12 years ago pretty intensely. And they're the ones that brought it to the legislature's attention of opportunities for their power systems. And sure, we're getting down to 50 megawatts is a little bit big for a city of Galena, but when you get down to 10 megawatts or less, it becomes really feasible, and that's where the technology is going. That's where we're almost there. So I support the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. Is there a further discussion on this amendment from committee members? Not seeing any. I'm going to remove my objection. Okay. Is there a further objection? Objection from Representative Zlokowski. With that, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll.
Yes.
Representative Klein.
No.
Representative Zlokowski.
No.
Representative Rauscher.
Yes.
Representative Hoffman.
Yes.
Representative Shaw.
Yes.
Four yeas, two nays.
All right. With a vote of, excuse me, would you repeat the vote? Thank you.
Four yeas, two nays.
The vote of four yeas and two nays, amendment number one is adopted. Is there a further discussion on HB 247? And let the record reflect that we've been joined by Representative Fields at 10:37 a.m. Representative Zlokowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly support the intent of reducing reliance on diesel for rural communities and looking to expand the Renewable Energy Fund. But I also think it's important to keep in mind that PCE is an important financial instrument that delivers equity and energy costs where the state has previously invested in brick and mortar infrastructure in energy costs. The PCE program exists for providing that same equity, but is utilized as a financial tool given the significant difficulty of building brick and mortar projects throughout Village Alaska in the same way that we've supported tidal projects and other sorts of renewable energy throughout the state. I'm looking to better understand if removing the cap for the Renewable Energy Fund destabilizes the PCE endowment in any way. I'm not sure if that discussion has been had in this committee. I'm not sure who to direct that question to.
Representative Zlokowski, maybe we'll start with Mr. Thayer at AEA. Mr. Thayer, would you please respond to Representative Zlokowski's question?
Yeah, thank you. Through the chair, Curtis Chair with the AEA. With the fund, the way the fund is structured is the earnings of the endowment, which is approximately $1.1 billion, is used first to pay PCE at approximately $30 million, and then it goes to community assistance at another $30 million, and then up to 25 million of excess earnings currently can go to powerhouse upgrades, capitalizing the bulk fund revolving loan program, and into the renewable energy fund. This particular year, that will leave an additional $55 million so to speak, on the table. And so that money will go back into the fund. But what that's the current path. The cap of $25 million, if that was removed, that would allow us to possibly capture additional federal funding. In the sense of with our powerhouses this year, we're using $10 million, or the governor's proposal is $10 million out of the excess earnings, so 10 of the $25 million, and we've matched that with $20 million of our $10 million for a total of 20 with the federal government. So in essence, if we did not have that cap in place, there is an opportunity that we could have matched the $50 million with another $50 million in federal funding for a total of $100 million to put into rural Alaska, into powerhouses, or if the amendment with the bulk fuel passes, into bulk fuel upgrades. Right now, the deferred maintenance in powerhouses is about $300 million, and our deferred maintenance in bulk fuel is $800 million. So we have a $1.1 billion deferred maintenance in rural Alaska. Yeah, and one other point I should point out, this is the first time in the last 3 years where the earnings have been able to tap into the cascading waterfall of the $25 million. Last year, the earnings was $48 million, so it paid for PCE and a portion of the community assistance. The year before, the previous 2 years, it averaged about $70 to $72 million, which covered PCE and covered the community assistance, but did not really tap into cascade of the $25 million.
Thank you, Mr. Thayer. Representative Lukuski, follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Thayer, with respect to the Renewable Energy Fund, does that fund projects only to PCE-eligible communities, or does that fund renewable energy projects to urban communities and rail belt communities alike?
Through the chair, that actually funds, there's no determination in where that funding is available. However, in the look back of the program, approximately $34 million has been used on rail belt projects, and $250 million, or $248 million actually, has been used in rural Alaska. So predominantly rural Alaska benefits from the Renewable Energy Fund overall.
Representative Lukuski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think given this information, as you know, as I think about the intent of the Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund and the significant challenges that rural Alaskans have faced with increasing energy costs, it seems more appropriate for the legislature to be considering expanding how much funds are made available to PCE under the initial calculation rather than removing a cap that would go to funding projects regardless of where they're located in Alaska. Again, I would come back to my concern that PCE as a program was intended to be a financial instrument of equity for communities that are not served by these larger renewable energy projects in order to help hold down the cost of energy. And so while I appreciate the intent of providing support for getting communities off of diesel, I think that there could be further discussion about which cap should be adjusted, whether it's the calculation provided to PCE support or the Renewable Energy Fund, and I'll just stop my comments there.
Are there further comments from committee members? I'm going to take a brief at ease. All right, back on the record. Thanks for everyone's patience. So at this time, we're going to set this bill aside for another committee meeting. We are going to take up House Bill 358. And let's see, is there any further discussion? on House Bill 358. Representative Kaufman.
No, I'll pass.
He'll pass. All right. Seeing no further discussion on House Bill 358, looking to the committee for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 358 version 32-LS1584/A with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from committee.
Are there any objections? Not seeing any. House Bill 358 moves from committee. I'd ask committee members to please stay behind so that we can sign the committee report. Seeing nothing else to come before the committee today, we are adjourned at 10:46 a.m.